Well, good morning. It's a bit cold, but it is gorgeous out there, isn't it? Just the sun shining on the snow and just the trees and it. I do love it. Especially from inside. You know. Aren't we glad that the heat's working? Hallelujah, right? Well, we're going to continue in Romans this week. Next week, I think I might leave Romans to focus on the specific of the earth. But this week, we're going to continue on in Romans chapter 2. Starting with the 17th verse. You want to read along with me? Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. If those who are not circumcised keep the law, requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who even though you have the written code and the circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to read it and to have it come and cut at our hearts and to circumcise our hearts, so that we might love you fully and completely and walk with you in truth. Lord, I pray right now that you would send your Holy Spirit to cut away at whatever flesh is around our heart which is making us unclean. Lord, give us the ears to hear your word in truth, and give us hearts that are open to receive it. Lord, I pray that this morning your anointing would be upon me and that I would indeed be able to speak your word in such a way that your people would be encouraged and that your name would be lifted up and glorified. Father, be here in power and in truth now. Touch me. That's only you who are the one who is praised. For we do ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This is a real interesting passage. One that I really enjoyed working with. And kind of some of the things in here you've seen done many times in places, verses 17 through 20. we have what I refer to as the setup. If this was a lawyer speaking, people, lawyers like to get people agreeing, saying, yes, yes, this is true, this is true, this is true. Then they come with what I refer to as the knockdown. They say, well, what about this? If all these are true, what about this? And then the grind down, where they make the point, reiterate the point, beat you down with the point until they have made the point so that there's no doubt before the jury that they have made their point. And we see that in the next set of verses, 22 through 24. So let's look at those. Okay, first 17 through 20, we have these. Now, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and you brag about your relationship, if you know His will and you approve it, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, you are an instructor to the foolish, a teacher of infants. Think, you're claiming you're all these things. Then we come to verse 21. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? This is the classic confrontation between the reality of who we are as Christians and who they were as Jews and our fallen natures and who we say we are as children of God. If you have met my cousin Michael, I love my cousin Mike. Donna's never met him. But I grew up with him and we spent many wonderful hours together, days together, months together. I went on vacation with his family and spent a couple weeks with them out in Colorado and out in Wyoming and South Dakota. Mike and I were very close. His last name is Hobbs also. Mike, however, has an issue with anger and with obeying the law. And last my knowledge, he was a guest in a government-run facility. Mike wants nothing to do with the family at this point. But he's a Hobbs. Now, if you said, I've met Michael Hobbs, I know what all Hobbses are like. That's a Hobbs. You're a Hobbs, obviously. You're a thief, a lawbreaker, and you're violent. No. I'm not usually violent. I try not to steal. I will admit that, I don't know where I got this pen. But my foot gets a little heavy on the gas, but it's not my name. I try not to. Matter of fact, I try to work with the police and be help to them. So if you know Mike, do you know me? In a very, 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 very small way, a little bit. But is it right to judge me by my cousin Mike? No. But yet people do that all the time. They want to judge God by us. And we're the lawbreakers. And the Jews. We move on to verse 24. And it says, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Why? Why is he saying that to the Jews at this point? Because they were teaching one thing to the people, yet living something else, another life themselves, saying, you because you are not a Jew, you must be circumcised and you must follow this law and this law and this law. Then they looked and while that person was, yeah, they were circumcised back when they were an 8-day-old baby. Okay, there's a big difference between getting circumcised at 30 years old and 8 days. At least as far as the memory center is concerned. I was done in the hospital as a young baby. I don't remember anything. I guarantee you if you run into any man who is circumcised as an adult, his memories of it will be vivid. It's different. God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Why? Because the Jews were telling the Gentiles you had to do these things. You had to suffer this way. But they weren't doing it themselves. And quite often we just do the same thing. As parents, say, don't do that. You know, I have the benefit of being able to say I could tell my children not to smoke and I never smoked. Donna was on shakier ground. She was able to quit before the children were born, all that, but she did have a period of time where she smoked. But yet she quit. So she's better. She could make that statement. Now my mother, the entire time I was growing up with her, she would tell me not to smoke. But she had no moral standing because she smoked every day that I was growing up. She didn't quit till just a couple of years ago. So while I had a better standing than Donna, Donna still had a much, much better standing than my mother because she had quit. She'd given it up. Even, as I said, even before the boys were born. Even before we got married. But here we see these people are just like the parent who are doing that which they're saying, do as I say, not as I do. And we all know just how well that really works out, don't we? It doesn't work. Because the kids are going to do what we do versus what we say every day of the week. And yet when we hold them accountable to that which we've told them to do, do they bless us for that? No, they curse us for that. And this is exactly the situation that is going on here. The Jews are the elders in the law. They've had the law. They know the law because the Gentiles haven't had it. They didn't grow up with it as children. They don't have the blessing of that close relationship with God, the chosen people of Israel. That's a blessing that's for them. But yet, God comes and says, the circumcision of the body is important. It's a sign. This is the promise, the sign of the promise, the covenant that I've made with you. Okay? That's in Genesis, when he's talking to Abraham, when circumcision first comes into play. It is a sign of the promise. Physical reminder in a very intimate way. Again, remember, our relationship with the Father is to be intimate. Now, I'm not trying to get weird or strange on you here, but crude. But please, remember, God didn't do this by accident. It means much. And it's very important that we pay close attention to all the aspects of it. What we consider the most intimate part of our body has excess flesh removed from it for the purpose of making us more clean, making us more sensitive. Put those in spiritual contexts. The Holy Spirit comes and circumcises our heart to remove that flesh which keeps us from being clean and makes us less sensitive. This isn't accidental. This is what God is vision. And a daily reminder to each man that they are God's. And we are to have that in our heart. See, the circumcision of the heart is not new. Deuteronomy, we see it first showing up. Now, I looked at how often God talks about circumcision. And actually, a word or a variation on the word circumcision is used 82 times throughout the entirety of Scripture. Now, how many of you think of circumcision as an Old Testament concept? Now, how many of you think of it as a New Testament concept? None of you think of it at all. Okay. Generally, I always thought of circumcision when I thought about it as Old Testament. You know, Abraham, given to Abraham. You know, this is when God said, "You are my chosen people, and this shall be the sign." That seems very Old Testament to me. But yet, I was surprised when I looked at Scripture, saw the very circumcision or variation of it is used 82 different times. Only 30 of those times are in the Old Testament. The rest are New Testament, of which the vast majority are references to circumcision of the heart. Now, lest we think that circumcision of the heart is just a New Testament concept, while there may have been 30 times that the word circumcision or a variation on it was used, that's only 12 different instances, 12 different sections or places where it's talked about. You know, oftentimes you would say, "You must circumcise this." You know, the same word is used like a half dozen times in the same sentence. We see that in Scripture at times. Well, that's what's going on. There's 12 different places in the Old Testament where circumcision is spoken of. 12 different groupings. Okay? Four of those talk of circumcision of the heart. This isn't brand new to the New Testament. And it wasn't, while he didn't specify with Abraham that it was with the heart, in Deuteronomy with Moses, he does. And then later with Jeremiah, the prophet, he does. And I want to read to you from Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 4. And I didn't mark my Bible. You like Jeremiah? Okay, I know he's in here. Jeremiah 4, verse 4. It says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done, and burn with no one to quench it." Now, Mike, I didn't tell you this one, but if you could find it real quick. Jeremiah 9:25. Jeremiah, verse 9:25 and 26, actually, here I'm going to read for you. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the heart of the distant places, for these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart." See, it's not about just knowing the law and telling others how to do it. It's about living it, and not just living to the letter of the law, but living it within our heart that God is after. time and again, we see this in Scripture, that God's concern is for the condition of our heart. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart and mind and strength. All that we are. He doesn't want just part of it. He wants all of it. The Jews were the children of the covenant. The covenant was symbolized by the circumcision. But yet, the sign without the meat, without the meaning of it, is worthless. We're told, is not even the Gentile who obeys the law, they are the ones that are circumcised more. Well, I'm messing up the quote. I'm not good at memorizing. I'll go and read it. If those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and the circumcision, are a lawbreaker. See, it's not enough that you can trace your lineage back to Abraham through your mother and your father and your grandmother and grandfather, etc. But you must be able to do it through your heart too. If I put up a box and I put steak on the outside of that box, and I say, here, I'm giving you a box of steaks for Christmas, and what I put inside the box is garbage or nothing, are you going to be happy with my gift of steaks? I don't think so. Neither is the Lord happy with us when we put the label Christian on the outside, but we keep Him out of the inside. See, it's the Holy Spirit which circumcises our heart, removing that flesh which is getting between us and Him. And it's better done at a young age than an older age. Sooner done, sooner healed. But the circumcision needs to take place so that our hearts can be clean and that they can be sensitive to the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit that does that when we invite Him in to do so. I will tell you this, nobody at my age is going to circumcise me against my will. Albeit physical or spiritual. Nobody. And the Lord doesn't. We have to invite Him in. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by man's written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. You see, if we have it written on our heart, if I say I love Donna, and I write on a piece of paper I love Donna, and if I have a marriage license that says I love Donna, does that make me love Donna unless I have love for Donna in my heart? there's no love in my heart, she's not going to feel loved. Even if I write it down and got pieces of paper. She's going to know if the love isn't there in my heart. Trust me. She'll know. She knows things about me I don't know about me. Same way with God. He knows things about you you don't know about you. But if you don't have love for Him in your heart, the law by itself isn't going to do it. See, if I have the desire in my heart to obey the law, it's much more likely that I will be obedient to the law. Whereas if I have this rebellion, I'm going to have problems. Israel is called to go back and to be circumcised just before they go into the land of promise. Joshua is hearing from the Lord and he's saying, don't be a stiff-necked people. Be circumcised. Stiff-necked refers to rebellion. As long as we are stiff-necked to the Lord, we're breakers of the law. But if we will bend our neck, if we will submit to have Him come in, He will remove from that, from our hearts, from our lives, those impediments that we have between us and Him. And we will grow within us the desire to follow the law. If I love the Lord, it's going to be my desire not to hurt Him. And breaking the law is sin. Sin is hurting God. It hurts me too. But it's more of, it hurts me because when I do that, backlash versus, because I want to love God and there's penalties to be paid for that. I'm getting off track there. I wasn't going that direction. But when we love God, we will find that it's not in us to hurt Him. So, this morning, I ask you, allow the Lord to circumcise your heart this morning. Is there something that is keeping distance between you and God? Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and remove it and to make your heart more sensitive, more clean. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us the law. And we thank You that You have given us the promise, the covenant. And Lord, we thank You for the new covenant. The covenant of the cup and the bread and the cross. Lord, we thank You that if we will bend our necks to You, if we will seek not to be in rebellion and invite You in, that You will come and circumcise our hearts. That You will put within our very hearts the sign of the covenant between us. Or that You will reside and live there. That You will make us clean and sensitive to You and Your will. Father, we thank You for this. And we ask that you would help us to submit each one to this ourselves, so that we could be known as your people and the people of your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand as we close.